He's back. Welcome to the 100th episode of the Life 2.0 podcast. I'm John St. Augustine. I've been on hiatus for just about a month. Nothing's been going on in the news, really. It's been pretty quiet, hasn't it? No. But I needed a month off. I needed to take time to take stock of all that's been going on in the world. And there were some personal things going on with me. I was very busy with my new book that's out called Phenomenon. You can get it on Amazon or Lulu. There's my shameless plug for some pretty good work. And to sit back sometimes and to just watch what's going on in the world without having any sort of rebuttal or opinion, there's a lot of power in that. And I don't do that enough. And especially all the years I was on the radio, 5 days a week, 3 hours a day live, that's what it was all about. You know, something would happen and people talk about it. Something would happen, people talk about it. And somewhere along the line, a very long line in my opinion, we equated talking about something is the same as doing something about what we're talking about, and it's not. And so sitting back for a month, roughly, and watching everything from the impeachment to the constant chaos in the headlines and the coronavirus, and man, you could, you know, the Houston Astros are firing their manager, and you know, it's constant. And to pull back from that and just simply watch it almost as a movie, in some ways, some odd ways, was kind of enjoyable. And so I didn't, and I've always said this, I never wanted to get on the air, except I was paid to get on the air and talk about nothing. And so much of our lives are filled with people who know everything about everything, but really haven't done anything. And so I try to stay away from that as much as I possibly can, and to get some sort of perspective or leverage, not only on myself, but the information that I hope to pass along to whoever's listening. And I've been doing it for a very long time, and it's gotten more important to me, quite frankly, the longer I've done it. And perspective is everything. And if it isn't everything, it's pretty damn close to everything. And so I thought to myself, self, you've been off for a month. You kind of laid back. And, you know, quite frankly, there's 99 other episodes. So I'm sure there are people that are catching up on stuff from last year. So it's not like there's any content not to listen to, because there is. There's a ton of stuff there. And I went actually back and listened to some of the interviews I did with people like Jane Goodall and Jerry Kramer, and the Throwback Thursday stuff with Wayne Dyer and Carol Channing. And, you know, so there's a lot of information there. And my job has always been to inform, entertain, and inspire. And hopefully I can do that within the length of one episode. And with all that in mind, I thought, what is it that I could bring to the table for this 100th episode? Now, look, it's no more important or less important than the 99th or the 101st episode. I'm really clear on that. However, I just was waiting for something to pop, you know, and nothing was popping. If I would just get on and talk about all the impeachment stuff, it's been done. It's already yesterday's news. But there's lessons in there. And then I started to think about, well, this coronavirus stuff, you know, what's going on with that? People get the flu and die every day, and it doesn't make the news. I mean, it does, but not like this, because they're on a ship somewhere. And I kept sitting waiting to see what's going on. And I was asked to help out on a project, a podcast project, at my alma mater here in Chicago, Schurz High School on the northwest side of the city. And my good friend, Kathy Wren, who is just a stellar human being and a fantastic educator, has been there 29 years. Matter of fact, I think it was my second to last or last year as a teacher there, a cadre sub there, which means I was assigned to that school. And out of 200 plus teachers, there's always probably 20 or 30 missing a day back in the 90s. I don't know what it's like now. And so I was on call all the time. I covered all kinds of different classes, and it was really an incredible experience for me. And I decided not to go into teaching, even though the opportunity was there. And when I was making those decisions and kind of coming to the end of my tenure, Kathy was just a youngin' coming on board. And we've stayed in touch all these years, and she's just, like I said, it does me good to know that she's there doing what she does, as well as a few other teachers there at Schurz that I've had contact with over this time. And she reached out and said, you know, we're doing this project for NPR, National Public Radio, and do you think you could bring some of your broadcasting expertise to help out the juniors that are in my class? Absolutely. And I think my friend Candace Jordan, who is at least has one episode on Life 2.0, if not two, always says, you know, everybody thinks that giving has to do with money, and it really doesn't. I mean, it does, not wrong, right, big checks, that's fine. But giving of your time and your energy and expertise where that can also ripple out, that's really, really important. So I went over a couple days ago. And I said, let me just talk with the kids and kind of see what they want to come up with. And maybe I can, you know, help out to get them to the point where they can do this project. And on the drive over, as a matter of fact, it actually was the day before, once this idea popped into my head, I thought, why not, for the 100th episode, talk to some people, young people, who have probably a far different perspective on what's going on in the world and if it's the world's going to shit or not than I do. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about doing the podcast, is having conversation and seeing what kind of solutions may be brought forth within conversation, whether it's personally, professionally, whatever. That's where you find the juice. That's where you find the meat. That's where you find some gold when you do a little bit of digging. So we set it up that there would be four guests that I would interview out of her class, and the rest of the class would be an audience, and we would do, you know, a regular kind of interview session for me, which is about a half hour out of a show. And I got there. It was funny because, you know, I don't want to be late for class, and I was on the Eisenhower. I had to go downtown in the morning. It was busy. It was an hour 10 drive. You know how far I could drive an hour 10 if I was like in the middle of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan? In Chicago, that might get you 12 miles. Anyway, I made it at like 9:28. Class started at 9:30. I checked in at the front door, said hi to my pals in the front office, and I made a beeline for Miss Wren's class, and they were there waiting for me. And so what you're going to hear today is that conversation with these young people, 17 years old, I believe, all of them are. And when I was a sophomore, here we go, when I was a sophomore at Schurz, would have been 1975 going into 74 going to 1975. And so my experience of the world at that time is these kids weren't even born. I got shoes older than most of them. So my perspective is very different than their perspective. And that's really where the middle ground was. And with all that's going on in the world, I thought this would be a great way to drill down to a few levels in age to see how they think things are going on and what do they think about the world and how we treat each other and all that. Matter of fact, we touched on it a little bit in this interview. The project that they chose the topic for the NPR contest is the effects of social media on young people. Brilliant. I mean, the fact that that's where they wanted to go with this when they do their project was fantastic. I also suggested to them that social media is really unsocial media at this point for the most part. And so I think they're going to use that in the title as well. And it doesn't take much anymore. You know, look, when nobody had Twitter when I was a sophomore. There's no Twitter. A cell phone, that was like the phone in the police department you used to call your lawyer. Not that I ever had to do that. But it's a very different world on a lot of levels. And in some ways, it's very much the same. And so I was thrilled to talk with them. And I felt like, outside of having difficulty getting in and out of the desk chair, because I've gained, you know, 4 or 5 pounds since I was a sophomore, I just felt enlightened by their presence. I felt heartened by their presence. And anything you read in the papers about what, you know, high school sophomores would be or would not be, or whatever that might come out, whatever you think about that, you know, there's always the bad actors that get the headlines, that's for sure. But when I walked into that room and I saw, you know, 25, 30 faces in front of me and the four young people who were my guests that I was going to kind of interview and put them on the spot a little bit, I just thought, when I finished, there's hope. These kids are on it. They have a definite opinion of the way the world is. It was really interesting to see the process they went through because, look, doing this is not easy, meaning this as broadcasting. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week live. You think it's easy? Stick you on WGN and see how it turns out. It's not easy. And over the years, of course, there are people who are professionals that make it sound easy or even look easy, but it's work. And speaking into a microphone in front of basically a stranger, in front of a room full of people, keeping in mind that speaking in front of groups or public speaking in general is like the number one fear on the planet, I gave a lot of credit, but they sat there. They had no idea going into this what I was going to ask them. I like doing interviews this way. I like having conversations off the cuff like this. I was just so impressed with their presence and their purpose. Okay, Fabian, how long you been at Schurz, and why'd you come here out of all the other schools you could have chosen?
Oh wow! So I've been here for almost.
All right, thanks for that. Pass the mic. No, I'm kidding.
almost 3 years now. And the reason why I chose Schur's was because, honestly, it was the closest place to my house. And I didn't feel like waking up early to go other
you
places.
You better hope you find a job next door to your place, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, because you don't want to wake up. What's early to you? 8, 9, 10?
Nine
is early. Nine is early, Miss Wren. You better play the lottery when you hit it. Are you 18?
I'm 17.
When you hit 18, start playing the lottery. Then you don't have, if you win, you don't have to work. Okay, pass it along.
All right.
Say your name for me.
Monse.
And where are you from?
I'm 10 minutes away from Schur's.
You're 10 minutes from here. And why come here? Because it's 10 minutes? Or you didn't have to get up early?
No, I get up at like 5 in the morning. Both my sisters came here, so my mom was like, I don't really want to drive you to your school, so you should just come here. And I was like, okay.
So you walk it every morning?
Sometimes, yeah. Depending on if my mom or my dad can take me.
Okay.
Me and my sister both get over here.
Okay, great. So pass it back to Fabian. Then pass it back to Andrea. I want to ask you, too, so why did you come to Schur's?
Well, I wasn't going to come here. I was initially going to go to Prosser because it was right by me. And then my mom wanted me to go to ITW because it's a noble school.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to go there. And then I missed my test day, so I couldn't go there anymore. And then my counselor in eighth grade had to help me, and he got me to come to Schur's.
All right, pass it to the big guy here, Elijah. Here we go. This is when stuff's going to get interesting. So why did you and how did you end up at Schur's?
All right, so basically I had put paperwork for Lakeview. Yeah, so I that's where I originally wanted to go to.
Yeah.
So my counselor from my old school, she forgot to turn it in.
Conveniently?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, good.
So and then I didn't go, and then I just came to Schur's.
It was just that it? Because the paperwork did go in, now you're here?
Yeah, and also Schur's is closest to my house. So
it's closest to the house?
Yeah.
And don't have to get up early?
Yep.
All right.
It's the best way.
Yeah. So back when I came here, when Richard Nixon, you ever heard of him?
No.
He was president. Look it up. Yeah. 1973. You ever heard of Watergate?
No.
Wow. So I'm like living history. I know stuff. I live through stuff you've never heard of. So 1973 is the first year I came here. Richard Nixon was the president, and then he was impeached. Ever heard that word?
Yeah.
He was impeached in 1973, and he left office. When I first walked in the door here, you ever heard of Vietnam?
Yeah.
The war was still going. I am old, dude. But that's okay. Gives me perspective you don't have. So what we're doing today is this is my 100th episode of the Life 2.0 podcast. And when I do my shows all these years, 25 years, somewhere in there, in radio, my job has always been, I think, to bring perspective to things that most people lose perspective on. 25 years, somewhere in that area, depending on how you count it, we've gone, in my opinion, from a world that sees things through a big view lens because of the media, and it's gotten smaller and smaller. Now, to me, everything we do is under a microscope. You can't walk your dog anymore without people. You're on video. Right. So it's changed so much, and I think sometimes what happens is we lose perspective if you look at everything under a microscope. So what I want to do is, you have no idea what I'm talking to you about, no idea what I'm going to ask about, and as I started thinking about the 100th episode, I thought I want to go back to where I learned so much, which is this school, 1970 what?
Six.
Three?
Oh.
He's out. And ask you some questions about the world you live in today that I also live in, but we see them very differently. We'll start with Elijah. So the current state of the world today, as you see things, are we going in what you would think is a good direction or not a good direction? Go ahead.
Not a good direction.
Why is that?
I just feel like there's a lot of bad habits that people gained throughout the years. So we all live in Chicago, so Chicago's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of killings and all that. So I believe social media also has a big impact with that. So yeah, so it's basically everything's just going downhill.
And Andrea?
I feel like we are also going through a bad path because there's a lot of problems in the world, not just in the U.S. There's more poverty in the entire world. There's school shootings everywhere. There's global warming. Just a lot of problems. And then Trump, with everything that he's done.
You're not a fan of the president?
No.
Okay. Go ahead. Keep going.
But yeah, I feel like those are one of the couple of major problems that we have.
Okay. Fabian? are we headed in the right direction, the wrong direction, or are we just treading water, brother?
I feel like we're heading towards the right direction. I know there's a lot of bad news always going around, especially throughout social media, and it's really hard to tell if things are going well or going better.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually social media or people who use social media like to point out all the negatives and all the bads.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really usually see all the good stuff
mm-hmm.
that actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen many, not just motivational speakers, but actually like leaders who are not just doing things for themselves, but also building up others. And I really believe that if they continue to do that, they can duplicate it with others and they can make other people better.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I
better or worse, or just holding ground?
We're definitely getting worse. I agree with both Andrea and Elijah. I completely disagree with Fabian.
Okay.
So the reason for that is because there's a lot of bad things going on right now, especially this year. Like, we're only like 2 months in the year and it's already gone downhill a lot. Like, World War III almost happened.
When was this?
Wait, what?
When did World War III almost happen? I missed that one.
Because of Trump deciding to kill Iraq's, like,
right.
General.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that almost happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, also global warming, like, that's just gotten so much worse, especially because I think in Brazil, they decided to, like, the president or, like, the ambassador or whatever, I don't know what he is,
mm-hmm.
decided to burn some of the Amazon rainforest because they wanted to only get, like, a portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
That way they can build more stuff around it.
Mm-hmm.
But they ended up putting a lot of animals without homes there.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back. Just start working back this way. So, Fabian, and before I move forward, because we have an audience, let's hear from all the audience in the back. That sucked. Could you do it better than that? Let's hear from you people in the audience.
Yeah!
Man, oh, man. Just because you don't have a microphone doesn't mean you're not broadcasting. That's the way it works. You're the out of the four of you sitting here, you're the one who thinks things are getting better. Your friends here, they don't agree with you. So try and convince them a little bit more. Give me the a little bit more evidence for your opinions and your outlook.
I feel like the reason why they see that things are getting negative is because, maybe wrong about this, but they're just in... They're not really going out there and seeking...
They're meaning these three?
These three, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, be specific.
Right.
These three are not
really researching all these things. Because, you know, they're obviously in social media, and they see the negative things that are happening all around the world. But if they actually... I believe if they put in some research, and I honestly... But to be honest, I haven't put in the research yet, but...
Well, hold. See, I'm the moderator. I get to call you on your BS anytime I want.
Right.
They want them to go look at it. You want them to look at the research, right. And you said, I haven't done the research.
Right. Oof, you got me there.
Yeah.
Right.
Bazinga.
Oof.
Yeah. So go ahead. It's kind of tough. Here's the deal. First of all, I give you points for making those points.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly... When you have conversation with people, instead of me just, you see, I only asked really one or two questions in the last 10 minutes. 10 minutes has gone that fast. I've asked one or two questions and we've had conversation. And when you talk with people in conversation, I think I said this when I was in last time, if you squeeze a tomato, you get what? Tomato juice. And if you squeeze grapefruits, you get grapefruit juice. And when you squeeze humans, all kind of shit comes out. And conversation and headlines of the day squeeze people. Unsocial media squeezes people. Anybody here take a science class? You should all have taken a science class. You ever heard of Pavlov's dogs?
No.
Who said yes? Well, yeah, you can't play. You're the teacher. Who said yes? Who did? Okay. I'm going to pull you in. You think? No, I think I did. I did? No, I think I did. You sound like a politician. Yeah. Come on up. You're jumping in for a second. This is really important. When was the last time you got applause just for standing up, right? Okay, put the mic up. Okay. What's your name?
Janelle.
Janelle?
Yep.
So explain before I get into the Pavlov's dogs concept what that is.
Basically, it was this scientist
named Pavlov. Yes.
Yeah, and he had this group of dogs, right? And before he trained them, he would give them food, and they would just automatically go towards the food.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up like having these bell systems.
That's right. He'd ring a bell.
Yeah, and he would train the dogs to receive the food only when the bell was rung.
Right, and then the last part of that was, do you remember, for extra credit? Come on, work with me here.
I don't remember.
Okay, so the last, thanks, Janelle. So the last part of Pavlov's dog's experiment, do you know?
Are you talking about after the bell?
Yep. Come on up. Well, it doesn't matter. Fabian's been wrong twice. He's still here. What's your name?
Destiny.
Destiny. What comes? Do you know? Or are you just stretching?
No, I'm just stretching.
You're wearing me out, man. So, Destiny, what happened after the bell thing?
I think you're talking about the part where he stopped using the bell.
And what happened?
And the dogs eventually they stopped coming to the bell. But they will still produce salvation? Is that
saliva.
Name? Saliva.
She gets 1,000,000 points today. Thank you, Destiny. We got there, and I didn't even have to do it. Here's what's important about the Pavlov's experiments. It applies to humans. And so if you keep poking at people, and poking at people, and poking at people, and poking at people, and then feed them, once you poke them, they come back to get fed, just like the dogs. But when you pull away the impetus or the poking, people still think they're going to get fed. So every day we are conditioned when the bell rings to think we're going to get fed. So every time on your phone, for example, like you get an update or an alert or whatever, we do this. When I drove in today, or I see all these signs on the Eisenhower, put your phone down and drive. We didn't have those signs when I was a kid. Because nobody drove with a phone. It was hanging on the wall in the kitchen. One phone. End of story. So we've been conditioned over just my lifetime to have this little electronic life support device bring the world to us, and we respond. And what happens is we start salivating or getting pissed off or not when stuff comes our way before it's ever here. We're conditioned to this. Does that make sense? So you can see how all the information in the world has already conditioned you to respond and start drooling before it ever gets here. We are predictable, unpredictable creatures. And so the reason I'm having this conversation is you see the world a little different than I do, but in fact, we all are poked at, yeah, you have something else, Destiny? Get up here. She should have volunteered yesterday. Get up here. If you got something real quick, go ahead. Man, you get applause every time. Can I just say this is exactly how it's supposed to go? See what's happening here? Go ahead.
Okay, so I kind of agree with Fabian. I agree with Fabian with the idea that everything's going better now, because before we had social media, we wouldn't know about these problems. But now that we have social media, we hear more about it, and it's up to the person whether, like Andrea, Elijah, or Monse, if they want to do something about it, they could do it.
Huge point. What's the point of poking at people if people don't do anything about the problem anyway except complain? You know what the saliva is, Janelle, right? The saliva is we think that texting or tweeting or liking on Facebook on something that's bothering us is the same as doing something. Humans really think that if I hit like or make a comment and you move on to the next thing, that was all you can do about something. And it's not. Perfect point. Thank you. Andrea, looks like she has something to add to that. Go ahead.
Honestly, we could try to do something about it, but then again, we still are minors. So what are we really going to do about it besides share the status and let other people know and spread the awareness?
Call on me.
You.
Okay, thanks. Do you know my first name?
John.
Thank you. You get 1,000,000 points right here. So if I were you, and I'm not, but if I was, I'd go back and look at all the people who were under the age of 20 or 17 or whatever that made a huge difference in the world and find evidence that it doesn't matter how old you are. What matters is, Monse, you have something to say? Get pass it along. That what matters is what you do right where you're at. And that's really important. So if you look at these things, see, there's only one of two ways to go through life, you guys. You can either be a victim of change or a participant. But you can't be both, at least not at the same time. And both of those places, both of those positions give you a payoff. If you're a victim of what's going on in the world, it's a shit box, no question. It's just like a large cat litter box, and you keep covering shit till next time. But if you're a participant in it, you say, I'm going to find one thing that I can do to take the edge off a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay, so with what Andrea said, I kind of like, I don't fully agree, but I also don't fully disagree, because there was the kids from Florida that had the mass shooting. Like, they did something about it, and they were heard. And it took them a while, but they were definitely heard, and they, like, that was on the news for a long time. Also, with Fabian's thing, with the research, I look at the news every single day. Like, I'm the type of person that sits with my parents at, like, the middle of the night, and we look at the news. Like, that's why I'm so, like, aware of what's going on.
So let me real quick before you pass it along. Now she's, I don't want to be first, but give me that microphone. So when you watch the news, do you, before you go to bed?
Not always, sometimes.
Good, don't, because worst thing you can do before you go to sleep is watch the news. You can watch it in the morning when you're going to wear it off, but nighttime is not so great. Go ahead, pass it back. And now we got people wanting to jump in. Do you think we should bring the audience a little bit more? Okay, go ahead.
What you said about the mass shootings, yeah, that they did make a difference, but that's because that was like, that actually happened in the moment, and they were actually victims of it. And everyone's a victim of, like, global warming and everything that we just said, but everyone already knows about it. How are we going to make such a big difference, and everyone already knows about it, and they haven't done anything?
Janelle wants to jump in because now the audience is getting involved.
Well, I think some of this stuff is kind of hypocritical, because we're saying about all this stuff that we see on social media, but yet there's been classes where I've seen people get bullied by other people because they think it's cool, or like it earns them like popularity points for them to tease others. And yet we sit here and watch, but when something is on social media, we want to solve that problem, but we can't face the problems that we have in person.
Excellent, excellent. All right, tech boy, let's go. What's your name?
Ethan.
I should have known by your t-shirt, really. I was up against it, but go ahead.
I just, in response to what Monse was saying, I just think that under terms of research, I really don't think that any news source is a credible source to get your information from, whether it be in the morning or at night. It just seems like they always have the intention of getting people angry by spreading either fake news or just blowing things out of proportion. A lot of the things they say can be true, but a lot of them are always either over-exaggerated or worded in a way that can be misinterpreted.
I like this guy. Elijah, you've been very thoughtful in this process. Give him the mic. Either you're falling asleep, one or the other. Go ahead. What do you got?
Like, when people, like, say things, like, in the news, like, when for example, when Kobe died, like, they'll say, like, oh, like, it was just him and his daughter.
Right.
Like, they'll say, like, oh, it's just him and his daughter, or, like, two other people. But in reality, it was, like, 9-10 people on the plane.
Right.
So, like, helicopter. You know, like, other people were getting mad. They're like, oh, why would you say this? But the other person's saying that. So, you know, like, they just, like, assume things instead of, like, actually getting the real facts.
Yeah. Wait, first of all, you should see everybody's face behind you, especially you, when he started talking. He's like, what the heck? What? This is great. Monse, go ahead. Just pass it on down.
So,
by the way, this is called a rebuttal. She's rebutting all this. Go ahead.
With the Kobe thing, they did say at first that it was just Kobe, his daughter, and like his like daughter's friend, and his, like the dad or something. But they said that they weren't completely sure, and not all of the information was given to them. So stay tuned. They normally say stay tuned, and they say in the next episode. So, yes, the news is not always very credible, but they at least give you some type of fact and some type of understanding of what's going on in the world. So it's not always going to be true, but you at least have an idea of what could be true.
So we're going to mush on. So your point is made. So is yours. Because they just argue. You ever seen people just argue on television?
Yep.
That's what it's all about. I'm sure you could.
I can too.
I can tell. So here's the thing. Let me give you a little perspective. How many of you have worked in the media? I'm the only one in this room that's ever actually worked in the media. So
what do you mean by media?
So have you worked for a major news organization?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Not sure?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't think so, or you know so?
I don't think so.
No, do you know you haven't, or do you don't think so?
I don't think so.
No, you're a politician. Do you know that you have not worked, or you don't think you have? You don't remember you have? Maybe you did, you don't remember.
Maybe I did, and I just don't know.
You got to run for office, because that's when you ask a politician a question, they never answer it. So do you know that you never have?
It depends on what's like media.
This is good. We could work with this. How do you define media? A major news organization. You got paid to do the news.
I told people the news, but I never got paid for it.
You mean like everybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah, but have you ever worked for a major news organization, got paid to do the news on radio or television?
No.
Thank you. 17 hours later, we got to the answer. Well, I have. So in what we're talking about here in this forum, I would be called an expert.
Right.
All right, so I have like, how old are you?
17.
All right, so I've been doing news and broadcasting and talk radio longer than you've been alive. So that would make me an expert. Woof is right. So let me just give a little perspective. I'm going to ask you one more question because we're running short on time. The perspective on the back side of this is news, every news organization, whether it's CNN, which we call constantly negative news, or Fox Radio, F-U-X, television radio, is everything's there is to poke at you, to get you to watch, to divide and conquer and sell you things. They can't do what they do without money. And that money comes from advertising. And so what their job is to do is slice and dice the demographic so you solely watch them. So anybody here watch CNN? Raise your hand. Anybody here watch CNN and think what they do is great? Okay. Anybody here watch Fox? Okay. It's pretty good, huh? MSNBC? Any of the other ones that are out there? Anybody watch regular television, CBS, NBC, or ABC regular TV? Okay. And all they're supposed to do is define a demographic, get X amount of people to watch, and then off that number, which is measured every quarter hour, so if they're on an hour, they do it four times. If they're on a half hour, they do it twice. Newscasts are 22 minutes long. That's 8 minutes of commercials. Those commercials are usually drug commercials, trying to tell you that you're sick and you should go call your doctor about bullshit-itics or whatever they have. Their job is to sell you things. They can't stay on there if they don't have an audience. And so in order to get an audience, what do you get people to do? We did it here today. That's right. The best way to get an audience is to have people disagree. How much progress you think comes out of disagreement?
A lot. A lot of arguments.
Right. So you can debate and go back and forth, but out of that, what kind of concrete, constructive difference is made from arguing? None. That's why they keep doing it. And it draws you in like Pavlov's dogs to get you to salivate and get all worked up. So you have 10 seconds to make a final comment. Go, then pass it.
So my final comment is that, yeah, we can argue and we can all disagree, but at the end of the day, we're all people and we all are going to argue and disagree, and that's just that.
Hopefully we start to have a better positive mindset towards the future.
I agree.
So there you have it. Just remarkable to me. The things that I thought about as I left the school that day and the conversation, some of the conversation you heard just a few seconds ago, was about how important perspective is. And as I mentioned in there, you know, when I first went into Shears in 1973, Richard Milhouse Nixon was the president of the United States. Tricky Dick got elected twice. And when you go back and look at that time, one of my favorite resources, I don't know if you have it available to you on cable or whatever you get your television programming on, but there's a show called Decades, hosted by my good friend Bill Curtis, and it really is a newsreel of our times. And when I watch Decades, and they roll back to these different years where all this stuff was going on, you realize it's kind of always been this way. Hate to break it to you, but humans have a forgettery as much as we have a memory. Our memories are pretty short. Our forgetteries, even shorter. So when Nixon was in office, of course, Watergate broke open. And if you watch the news reels of that time and how the process was of uncovering the Watergate break-in and all that happened and guys going to jail and the president resigns, he's impeached, Jerry Ford pardons him. I mean, I lived through that. I was there. And so, but these kids weren't. And so they don't have that same perspective that I do. And, but the fire they have, here's what was important to me. The fire they have within themselves to have a world that's better than it is now is not diminished because of the way the world is. And I've said it for years. It's, you know, most of us will not change the world. Most of us will not bend history. But what's more important is that the world doesn't bend us over and change us. And these kids, even with all that's going on in the world, even with all the unsocial media, even with all the pressures that are on them, they remain optimistic and fervent in their desires to make things better. And that to me is like the litmus test on this whole deal. So as you heard, you know, I said, listen, you know, did you know what this is? Do you know what that is? And you know, Vietnam was still raging when I went into high school, and it technically had only been over for about a year and a half. So if you look at history and you become a student of history, it gives you a perspective in order to survive these times. The worst of times and the best of times are all the time. It's what we do in relation to these things. This is our time. We are built for this time, otherwise we wouldn't be here. And as a whole, whether it's in this country, around the world, all the shit that we conjure up, we have to deal with because we created it. And so there's this constant tug of war going back and forth. And unfortunately, so much of it is political. I say to people all the time, I just finished about a month ago revising and editing a book on happiness. And the author, Dr. Amit Goswami, and his co-author, talked about the many ways that from a quantum physics level, we can be happier. That really at the quantum physics level, there's nothing there. We get the chance to fill that void with something that's of value. And for me, removing politics or political aspirations or political persuasions or political personalities is like the biggest way to remain happy. Near impossible for most people, especially going into election year. And I watch how people beat the shit out of each other, both of them right, but both wrong. Both right in the fact that this is what they fervently believe is true, but wrong in the fact that they're not going to change the other person. And we've been doing this forever. I think the thing that that has become most apparent to me over time is that humans have always been this way. You've always had people on the left and always had people on the right that just knock the living crap out of each other. But what social media does is allow it for everybody to see it. It used to be, you know, there was a meeting in somebody's basement, or they were at a poker game, or they were at a ball game, or, you know, this stuff was secluded somewhere. These were private conversations that people had about politics, religion, sports, you know, whatever issue of the day was. They were all pretty private, unless you saw it on TV or heard on the radio. Now, there's no place to hide. And that stuff erodes our humanity. I'm convinced of that. So so common ground gets further and further apart, which makes higher ground nearly impossible. And consider the fact that you're dying. You know, we all have this terminal disease called life. It's a sexually transmitted disease. Life is, and it's terminal. And there's no guarantee whatsoever you're going to get home tonight or wake up tomorrow morning or what. It's not going to happen. There's no guarantee. And yet we go about our business as if we're going to live forever and we're right about everything. It's fascinating to me, but it's also debilitating at the same time. It makes it very difficult to find compromise. And so I have gotten, over time, less and less interested at all in talking about the antics of the current POTUS or the last POTUS or the next POTUS or any POTUS, quite frankly. Because what's going on in the White House is important, but what's going on in your house is more important. Bottom line. And if we focused on things that way, we can make our lives measurably better no matter what's going on in the news. Really, really important. So I hope you enjoyed a little bit with these kids from Schurz. I thank them and Ms. Wren for the opportunity to make them part of my 100th show. And I look forward to bringing another 100 to you. We'll see what's up on the docket next. But I got to tell you, the tagline has become for me over the years. And it's the thing that I stand by the most these days. I stand by this the most. I sit back and I watch people just slicing and dicing just to be right. That's it, just to uphold a narrative that they believe to be true. And I say a couple things. One is, if there's an issue pissing you off, bothering you some way, that the government or some group should do more X, Y, and Z, or should be this X, Y, and Z, if you pick up the mantle and do one piece, just 1% of that solution, to the problem, you'll be so busy engaged in your efforts to make it better that you won't have time to sit around and complain about who's not doing anything. I don't care what it is. Pick it up. It doesn't matter what. I have a friend of mine, one of the toughest, roughest guys you'll ever meet. And 1 or 2 days a week, he runs down and picks up stray dogs and transports them to a kennel and does, you know, and he is, there's a lot of animals that need homes. But this guy does one thing each week that makes a difference. It's that simple. It's that simple. As a veteran myself, I bring this up all the time. If you don't like the way veterans are being treated, go find one and treat them better. Not hard at all. If you don't like what's going on with the environment, and I'm not a fan of what's being currently being done with the EPA and water restrictions and mining rights and all kind of shit going on, but I tend to focus my stuff on the educational aspects of what's going on with the environment and see what I could do over there. And then I don't have time to sit around and worry about what I can't control. It's highly important. And, you know, there was a time I did 3 years of Earth Matters, which you've heard in these episodes many times, with my friend Bill Curtis. And it was 300 episodes of what we felt was critical information that people could use in their own lives and be informed on. And that's all you can do. That was our big effort. We may bring that back some point, but my deal is that's how we served our interest. We did something. This is what we could do. He's a broadcaster. He's a little more well-known than I am. But the point is that we combined our talents to do what we thought we could do at that particular time. Do what you can, where you are, with what you have, and go about your business and leave the rest alone. Hard for people to do. I get it. But it's necessary if you're going to keep your sanity. So that's the one thing. If there's something pissing you off, go do something. Hour a week, 2 hours a week. You want to rescue dogs? Go rescue dogs. Find one thing to put your back and your spirit into, and that will matter greatly. Because when the time comes and it all adds up and you got to check out and your expiration date pops up, your shelf life is over, you don't want to have a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda going on there. Not a lot. You're going to have some, but you don't want a lot. And the last piece of how do I keep common sense for such uncommon times? Here's my reminder. I do this, all the talks that I've given, the last TED talk I gave in Ontario, I had people do like an audience participation. Raise your hand if you've ever been to a wake or a funeral, and everybody's hand goes up. And raise your hand if you've ever been to a wake or a funeral for someone younger than you, and everybody's hand goes up. And raise your hand if you have been to a wake or a funeral for someone older than you, and everybody's hand goes up. It's a common thing. Death is a common thing. We all have participated in saying goodbye to somebody. And then I say, how many of you ever been to a cemetery? And everybody's hand goes up. And I said, now raise your hands, keep them up high if you've ever walked through a cemetery and saw a Democrat or Republican on a headstone. I've been to 40, 50 funerals in my 61 years. Never seen it. I walk through cemeteries just for a peace of mind. There's one close to me here. I walk through when it's nice out. And I look at all those names and all the dates and the dashes on there. And the things that they did, father, mother, sister, brother, auntie, uncle, veteran, beloved, never saw a political alliance ever. And so the thing is this, if it's not that important when we die, that it's etched in stone forever, why do we make it such a dividing force when we're still alive? Until next time, safe travels. Thanks for listening. Adios.